Hey Potters, welcome to episode 286 of Cosplay the Podcast for all things cosplay.
Yay.
Happy October, everybody.
Happy not 100 weather, everybody. Yay.
Oh, bless.
I don't know how long that'll last, but if we can just keep it at this, it would be nice. I'm tired of roasting. It's just been too hot. And I think the entire country of the United States can agree with me.
I would think so. Especially those of us who live in more southern climes.
I think they said it literally was the hottest year on record for most of the country.
Yeah. Plus, a lot of us have been hot for a really long period of time.
That's the thing. It was very extended heat. It was extensive 100-degree days that were very unpleasant.
I have forgotten what my patio looks like. Which is the place where I used to do all of my spray painting and smelly adhesive prop making and all that fun stuff. But I have not opened that door since, like, April.
Because it's been too hot.
Yeah, it's hot and humid.
Yeah,
but
no, thank
all
you.
Of a sudden, we had this glorious cold front come through, and it was 73 degrees for a day.
My lizard self woke up that one morning, and it was 52 outside to water my plants, and I was like, all right, I'm too cold now.
Yeah, I came home, and I was all excited. It's like, yeah, I can work on stuff now. It's nice. I can open my doors. I can open my windows.
Yeah.
It'll be great.
Be great. Now it's really windy out.
But it will cool off again this weekend.
Yes.
So that everybody can enjoy seeing the solar eclipse.
Hopefully.
those who are in viewing range of it. As we repeated before we started this recording, if you do happen to go out and enjoy the solar eclipse, please do so safely. Sunglasses are not enough. Please get the special eclipse glasses that you can get at any number of places, so that you can safely not only view the eclipse with your own eyes, but take pictures of it with your cameras, because of course, if you burn out the camera lens, then you can't take pictures of awesome cosplay later on with it. And we want you to be able to do that. We also want you to be able to see other beautiful cosplays with your own eyes. So please view the eclipse safely.
Yeah. For those who are wondering, because this is going to release on 10/14/2023, which is a Saturday, the same day as the eclipse. So timing-wise, it's actually consistent. Hooray. It doesn't happen very often.
Indeed. And you know, maybe you can get some really awesome cosplay picture opportunities with it.
I wish you luck in that endeavor. That takes some work.
I mean, at least you would have a true picture instead of a Photoshop. That would be pretty epic.
Yeah.
Anyways, speaking of cosplay,
yeah.
Why don't we move into cosplay updates?
Sure, let's do some cosplay updates. You have any?
No. To be fair, I did announce that last episode.
Yes.
I knew in advance that I would be doing a ton of traveling, like back to back to back.
Sure.
Frankly, I am exhausted. I barely had enough energy to unpack my luggage and throw things in the laundry, and that was all I did. I have not worked on anything, not even my own personal hobbies, outside of cosplay. So I do apologize, Potters. I don't have any updates for you this time. I will be catching up on sleep.
Don't worry, Potters. I don't have any updates either, but that's pretty normal for me at this point. But my life has been total craptastical for the last couple of weeks. Instead, I bring forth to you Cospod updates because that's what I must do. We recently found out that Google Podcasts is going to be sunsetting sometime in 2024. I don't have an exact date from them, but I'm going to assume it's going to be early 2024. Their plan is they're going to take Google Podcasts and move everybody over to YouTube Music. And we have decided as a podcast, we are not going to participate in that because YouTube Music serves ads. And as you guys know, we don't do ads whatsoever. We want to stay 100% free for everybody in perpetuity for as long as freaking possible. In order to not have the ads, you have to pay a monthly subscription. And we're just like, we don't want any part of this. We're not going to make anything out of it. What's the point of it? So we're not going to move to YouTube Music. We're just going to sunset our Google Podcasts feed alongside all of that. It's just really funny that I fought with Google Podcasts for so many months when they were making updates and transitions that it forced us to have an audio portion. And now that's going to be sunsetting. It's like, oh, goody, I did all that work. Great stuff. However, we are on a couple of places like Pandora and whatnot that are audio only. So it's like, okay, it ended up working out in the long run. But it was a lot of work to get there. So needless to say, no more good Google Podcasts in 24. We are going to stay on YouTube, though. So don't think that we're going to be leaving YouTube. We're just not doing YouTube music. We don't want to force any type of subscriptions on you guys whatsoever. So if you see that go away soon, that's the reason why. We've just made a decision of no more Google Music podcasts, none of that stuff.
Yep. As long as it's within our power to do so, we're going to keep the podcast free.
Oh, yeah.
Both monetarily and ad-free.
Absolutely.
So if you're ever on a platform and you notice ads showing up during the podcast, one, please know that that's not our doing.
Yes.
It's the platform's doing, whichever platform it is. And two, please do let us know,
mm-hmm.
because we are not inclined to serve our content on platforms that force ads into our content, especially without our consent. So please do let us know, because we may not always know what's happening.
Exactly. As far as I know, everywhere that we are, because we are in every place I could possibly imagine, and I did a whole lot of researching, it was like while the whole Google Podcast thing was happening, I was like, let me just stick us everywhere since I'm doing all this work. As far as I know, everywhere we are, we should still be ad-free, but it is very possible that somebody's terms of service has changed and they might be serving ads and we just are not aware of it. So just let us know. We'll be happy to take care of it either by talking to them and being like, hey, we're ad-free, we don't want revenue from any of this, or we just remove ourselves.
Yep. There will always be some way to find us on the internet.
Oh, yeah.
Legitimately for free.
Yeah, if you want to visit us on our link tree, which is in the show notes below, which has a huge catalog of everywhere you can find us to either watch or listen.
Mm-hmm. And we have both audio and video options available.
Yes, 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 yes.
For whichever format you prefer.
If you want HD, do the YouTube version. If you want standard definition, you can go directly to our website, or you can go to any of those podcasting platforms.
Yep, you will always be able to find us via our own website.
Oh, absolutely. That's not going anywhere.
Yep.
Cool. So there you go. Right. Cosplay updates. Woohoo! I guess, is it even worth mentioning anything about the Halloween episode? Because it's literally going to be a week away from recording. Other than to remind people that we're having a Halloween episode coming up very soon and you should join us.
Yes, we do invite you all to dress up in your favorite costume of choice and pick up your favorite food and or beverage, and feel free to join us for the After Dark session. I know that we always say that it's uncensored, but
we still censored. We still censor.
But, you know, we may occasionally talk about adult topics or play adult games like Apples to Apples, Jackbox Party, that sort of thing. So just keep that in mind if you are going to be listening to us within hearing range of very young children or at work.
Mm.
But other than that, we do encourage you to dress up, you know, relax, find a comfortable place, and join the fun.
Yeah, that's going to be, our recording date is October 20th. It'll be on a Friday, so next Friday at 7 p.m. Central, our usual time. And then the episode itself is going to go live. When are we going to put that live? Do we want to do that before Halloween or on Halloween?
Preferably before, simply okay. Because I know that some people will have parties that weekend.
Yes.
And may want to listen to us while getting ready.
So then we'll just do our standard release on the 28th. It'll be right before Halloween, very last episode of the season before we take our break. Ah!
And it is a break. It is not a pod fade. We're not going away.
You say that every time.
Just to make sure that, you know, new listeners who may not know us, don't panic. We will return.
It's just a 2-month break.
Our holiday break.
2-month break. We'll be back in January. You won't miss us.
Yep. Because we need a little time to refresh, you know, have some family time over the holidays, take care of some stuff, and then we'll be back.
Maybe actually work on cosplay.
That's what the holidays are for, working on cosplay. It's not about the food. It's not about no. the family. It's not about any sort of celebration. It's about working on cosplay.
Working on cosplay. We don't really have, like, November, December cons here. We used to many, many, many moons ago, but not really anymore. So it's like you got a good 3 to 4 month stint of nothing going on. It's like, this is a good time to work on stuff.
Yeah, I think a lot of groups figured out that there are a lot of things going around that time of year, and conventions tend to be a little lower on the priority list.
It's really hard to squish in a con during the holiday season, as nice as it would be, particularly in our area weather-wise, because it's like things are cool enough now where it's not as cumbersome to wear the big bulky armor and the multi-layer costumes. But the holidays are so prevalent over the next 2.5 months where there's so much going on, it's very difficult to kind of squeeze in a convention in all that mess. It would be nice if a con could make it happen. I would like to see a small one try to make that work, but I understand the difficulties.
Yeah, it's financially hard too, because by that point in the year, everyone's spent their money on other conventions.
Mm-hmm.
And there's not necessarily that much left in the bank account. And if there is, people are saving it for next year already.
Exactly.
I get it. I very much get it. But speaking of saving up your money to spend it, perhaps on other people.
Segue into the topic.
Segue. All right. So this episode's topic, this is kind of becoming an annual tradition for us, is to discuss holiday gifts for your favorite cosplayers.
Hooray.
Because cosplayers like receiving gifts too. and there are many, many gifts that are not only appropriate for cosplayers, but are very welcomed by cosplayers. It will make their lives so much easier working on cosplay. And so each of us has our own list. But of course, if you all would like to add things, you can always do so later on. And we will give you the information on where to share those at the end of the show. But why don't we go ahead and get started?
Sure.
Now, I've got mine separated by categories. I'm not sure how your list is organized.
It is not organized by that. I think the items that I selected are a good mix of, for both, you know, high-end presents, low-end presents, everything in between. And then I had one that was cosplay adjacent. So I don't really have any categories for mine. I don't know how we want to do this then. Do you just want to go ahead and start off?
First category I have is for the cosplayer themselves. So, like, things you might wear to help you with cosplay, or things that will make it easier for you personally, physically, to work on a cosplay. And the first gift I have is a nice apron, because aprons are really fantastic for storage if you get the ones that have lots and lots of pockets. Pockets are always good things in cosplay.
We do like pockets.
They will, yes. Aprons will also protect your normal clothing whenever you're working on stinky things like adhesives or liquids, dyeing things, painting. Basically, anytime you're working with something that doesn't need to get all over your clothing, even if you're wearing ratty clothes, sometimes you really just don't want to dye them purple because you're working on dyeing something with purple rit dye. So having the apron is very, very helpful for both the storage and the protection. Plus, you can give a personal touch with the apron if you make it yourself, because now they have all sorts of nerdy fabric that you can make them with.
Mm-hmm.
So you can find something that the recipient really likes and go buy that fabric and then make them a really nice apron, especially if it's machine washable, which again, with cosplay, very, very welcome. So that's my first one.
I don't have any that fit in that category.
Okay, I'll finish out the category. Because there are only four things in the category.
Okay.
And then I'll pass it over to you.
Okay.
The second one, and some of these may end up being duplicates, so I'm very sorry in advance.
It's okay.
The second one is a magnetic pin holder or tool clip. And basically what those look like, if you were a child of the 80s like we were, they had snap bracelets.
Yeah.
Where it was just a straight bar of plastic, and you'd fling it onto your wrist, and the plastic would bend, and it would snap to fit around your wrist. Well, a magnetic pin holder is basically a snap bracelet with a little magnetic tray that sits on top.
Mm-hmm.
And typically they're used for pins, as in sewing pins. But you can also use them for pretty much any kind of tool that's magnetic. So you can use them for small pairs of scissors. You can use them for tweezers, screwdrivers, pliers, anything like that, depending on how strong the magnetic tray is. And those are fantastically helpful to make sure you don't drop them on the floor and step on them. That's very painful. I can speak from experience. And so it's a lot easier, instead of having to constantly jab and make sure that your pins are fitting into the pin cushion that sits on your wrist.
Right.
You have wrist cushions. This way you can just kind of drop it in place and it will stick and it will stay there. Plus, you can use those with multiple other tools, whereas pin cushions only work with pins.
Mm-hmm.
So this way you can use it for other tools. And, you know, if you wanted to be really fancy, you could get one for each wrist and then feel like Wonder Woman. But usually one is sufficient.
Yeah.
So magnetic, the magnetic pin holders or the tool trays mm-hmm. are really helpful. So that's my second one.
Okay.
And then the third one are either craft gloves or quilting gloves.
Mm.
And basically, they're little compression gloves. They're fingerless gloves.
Yes.
And they're compression gloves. And what it does is it's supposed to reduce the fatigue on your fingers and your wrist.
And your wrist, yeah.
Yeah. Because when you sew, hand sewing especially, for long periods of time, or if you're crocheting, knitting, painting, basically anything that involves really long periods of repetitive movement with your hands, they can actually help during typing too. So it's
yes.
not just for crafting and cosplay. But those gloves can increase the amount of time that you can spend without hurting yourself on those tasks, but it can also reduce how much it hurts.
Yes.
Afterward, especially if you have things like arthritis.
Mm-hmm.
So those sorts of gloves are also really inexpensive. They're like $8 a pair, which is really reasonable. They do come in different sizes, so just make sure that you get the appropriate size. They're not like clothing where you have to get an exact numeric size.
No. No.
So you just have to get like the correct medium, large, extra large, that kind of size category. Just make sure you get the right size. And they are supposed to be a little tight when they fit.
Yes.
They're compression gloves.
They're compression gloves.
So, exactly. Don't worry if they're just a little bit tight in the fit. That's normal. And then the last thing, and this is the most customized version, is a self-care kit.
Mm.
Because sometimes when you're working on cosplay and you just get really frustrated, either it's not working out for you or life gets in the way, adulting gets in the way, you know, whatever happens in life and you're sick of it. You just want to throw it across the room, burn it, and you just want to walk away and you're just not in the mood. Having a self-care kit can help you de-stress. And a self-care kit can have any number of things in it. But generally, I would recommend like small snacky foods, like granola bars, small crackers, maybe little rice cakes or popcorn wafers, that sort of thing. Just very light snacks. And then maybe tea or hot chocolate, something that you can drink and just zen for a little bit. You can also throw in small things like bath salts so that the person, if they need to de-stress, they can just go take a really nice hot bath. Put in the bath salts, relax the muscles, especially if you've been working on cosplay for several hours, that can feel really good.
Mm-hmm.
It's also great after you've been to a convention for a day. You can take the self-care kit with you that mm-hmm. night, take off all the cosplay, put it away, go take your bath, because everybody knows 6-2-1. 6 hours of sleep, 2 square meals, 1 shower, every day at a con.
We hope everybody knows that.
And if you don't, now you do. But those self-care kits can help you relax after a really tough day to con.
Sure.
Because you're going to go shower anyway. Why not just shower and relax and have kind of a luxurious night at a convention? So it doesn't have to be a huge self-care kit. They're just little small things that'll help a person relax. You can even put in, if the person is not allergic, little sachets. The scented ones that you can like put under your pillow.
I was thinking like little aromatherapy
lavender,
bottles. Yeah.
Exactly.
Lavender is very calming.
Exactly. Just do make sure if you're going to give scented items that the person is not allergic, because certain things can trigger asthma.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't want to cause more problems when they try and relax. You want them to relax.
Yeah, less problems.
Yes. So that's the only thing to worry about or be concerned with as you're assembling a self-care kit. And they can be as small or as large as you want. You can spend $10 and make a small one.
Mm-hmm.
You can spend $50 and make a larger one or have like more expensive foods in it or something. Totally up to you. Just like get a nice inexpensive little basket, maybe some tissue paper, make it look nice. Doesn't have to be fancy.
Yeah.
It really doesn't.
Okay.
And that's it. That's everything in the category of like the physical cosplayer. So I will pass it to you.
So I've got two of them that are considered tools. So we'll go with that. The first one that I came up with was a ceramic iron and a pressing cloth. When I mean iron, I mean the thing that you use to iron your clothes. Because cosplayers underestimate the value of a good iron. You all have no idea how amazing it is when you have a good quality iron to get those wrinkles out of everything. I don't care if you're supposed to be running around in the forest for 5 years. You still have to have nice looking clothes, so please iron them. But the reason I say a ceramic one is that it doesn't scorch at high temperatures, which is a major plus. It irons smoothly almost over every type of fabric, and it helps eliminate static. There's a reason why you want to go with ceramic on these. A pressing cloth is also kind of a nice little bonus. It's not a requirement if you do get a ceramic iron, but I think it's a nice little perk to have, especially if you use a lot of fabrics that have a low temperature for your ironing reasons, such as synthetics, particularly with spandex and such. You need to have a very low setting on your iron, but it can take several passes to get any creases out, which just makes it so much more difficult. But you can get a nice transparent pressing cloth to kind of help you with the process, and you can turn up the temperature just a smidge, a little bit higher, to kind of help get those creases out a little bit easier for you. So yeah, there is value between having a nice iron, and it's worth investing it into a ceramic one.
I think those cool off faster too.
They do, yes.
Steel ones,
yes.
Which is good for safety.
Very good for safety.
If you turn off and unplug an iron that is made of stainless steel, it stays hot for a really long time. And if you leave that near your cosplay components, especially if they're heat sensitive, bad things happen. So ceramic is much better.
Ceramic is much safer. If you have any type of ceramic cookware, think about them in the exact same way too. The nice thing is they keep a good, even temperature. They cool off a lot faster. And it just nice and smoothing all over the place. It's greatness. I love it. And then the other thing that I came up with is Cos Tools by Logan Graphic Products. So specifically why I'm suggesting this is they offer a huge range of cutting tools that are made for foam up to 13 millimeters. Some of the tools actually go up to 19 millimeters. And this includes like a straight and bevel cutter. There's an adjustable circle cutter where you can cut out the perfect circles for up to 6 inches in diameter. I'm actually looking at getting one of those for myself because after my experience with the book, cutting circles was really painful and I don't want to do that ever again. But they even have like a freestyle cutter with the push style to it. So you can kind of freehand your cutting, but it's very nice and silky smooth. It's really cool. I am going to say this. They are a bit expensive. To get the full kit, depending on where you go, can be anywhere from $150 to $200. And the individual tools are anywhere from $25 to $60. So just be mindful that they are a little bit expensive. Definitely look through Blick Art first before you hop onto Amazon. Blick Art has a number of sales on them. Pretty often you can get them for a little bit less money. Still a bit expensive, but for somebody who is very much into prop making and loves making armor, they're tools that are worth investing in. They seem to have a really long shelf life, pretty good quality behind them, and the fact that they cut foam so nice and easily that requires limited to no sanding, like that's primo right there.
Yep. And actually, I have an entire section on tools.
Cool.
So I can go into that if you want.
Yeah, go for it.
Speaking of cutting tools, a cutting tools kit is actually on my list.
Cool.
But it's not the same kind of cutting tools. It's more of the traditional cutting tools that you think of. Not scissors, because I did the scissors thing last year.
Sure.
This is more of the general cutting tools, so things like box cutters and X-Acto knives.
Mm-hmm.
Because both of those, as Val mentioned, are really good for cutting foam. And the cost tools are basically nicer versions of X-Acto.
Very nice, yeah.
And so if you don't have that kind of money to spend, which I agree with her, investing in those kind of tools, if you have the money, is worth it. You will get your money's worth out of it. But if you don't have that kind of money to spend, it's okay. You can still get a nice box cutter, a set of nice, you know, replacement blades for the box cutters. Same thing with X-Acto knives. And they do sell many different kinds of X-Acto knife blades for different kinds of cuts. So you can actually get like a little variety set. They run you generally about $12 if you get the variety set, but you can get a single X-Acto knife for like $3. They're very inexpensive. If you happen to get a standard X-Acto knife and you get the replacement blades, please get a container that looks like this. the reason for getting one that looks like this is not just because it comes with blades where the point goes in so that you don't cut yourself, instead of having the usual like hard plastic package that you have to slice over, slice open with scissors. You want this. And the second reason is because there's a little hole in the box. This is where you deposit your blades when they get used safely, so that you're not only not cutting yourself, but you don't cut the trash man who has to take your trash away, because we really like our sanitation workers. So these are much better. And also, I feel like I need to say this as a PSA. Knife blades do go dull.
Yes.
You have to replace
them. You have to replace them.
They are not forever. One X-Acto knife blade does not last you forever. Neither does a box cutter blade. You do have to replace them every so often, just like sewing needles, which are also not forever.
Yes.
So please do replace them when they get dull. A sharp knife is a safe knife, because if you have a dull blade, you're going to push harder to try and get it to cut the same way a sharp one does, and that's when you hurt yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So that was my PSA for safety. And speaking of keeping things sharp, I actually have a sharpening kit, but I will also add that you can give a gift card for a sharpening session.
Sure.
If you don't want to give them the sharpening set, because you can get a simple sharpener, something like this, for scissors and for single blades, things like knives. This won't work for box cutters because the blade's not long enough to go in there. So this is only for things that have long, thin blades. So you can get one of these. This one ran me $8. This is inexpensive. Or if you want to go nicer, then you can get either a whetstone or you can get a sharpening rod. And a sharpening rod literally looks just like this. I know this is an X-Acto knife blade handle, but it looks just like this. It's a metal rod, and you run the blade or the scissor across it to sharpen it. And they're usually made of something like diamond or sapphire, so they're not inexpensive, but a sharpening rod will last you a lifetime. They do not go bad. Your blade will go bad first. But you can get one so that people can help keep their scissors sharp, or if you get a gift card, they can take it to like a Joann's, Michael's, or a knife shop proper to get them professionally sharpened, which you should do, because just like X-Acto blades and box cutter blades, scissors go dull too.
Yeah.
And they do need to be periodically sharpened, especially if you have pairs that you use for all-purpose cutting. And perhaps cut both paper and fabric with them. You see the gesture I am making on the video. For those on audio, I am making the tisk tisk symbol.
Your fabric scissors should not be used for anything but fabric. Please don't.
Yes, and the reason for that is they dull faster, because you'll need to sharpen them more, basically. So there's that. And then, since you mentioned cutting circles.
Yes.
This is something I always wished that I had had earlier in my cosplayer career, and that is a ruler set. Not just the standard ruler like you get in elementary school and it has your inches or it has your centimeters on it.
Sure.
But something like a French curve set, which is this thing. And you can find these both in the quilting section and in the artist section. And they look like this. And basically it's just a bunch of curves, different sized curves, different degrees of curves. Now, you'll see that there are no numbers or ticks or measurements on this, and that's on purpose because they're meant to be freeform. But they're very, very useful whenever you need to draw consistent curves on something, especially when you're making blocks for sewing. They're really helpful whenever you need to work with patterns and altering patterns and having very smooth lines. So those are useful to have. And then, since you had mentioned cutting circles, this is the other thing I wanted to show. Because Fiskars, we are not sponsored by any of these companies, by the way, that we're showing here today. None of them have sponsored us. This is just all the stuff I have in my craft cabinet.
Yeah, it's what we have available.
Yeah, Fiskars makes templates.
Yes.
And they make different size templates. And I have one for circles as well, because I had to have all three. So if you ever need to not only cut circles, but draw circles over and over again, and you don't have the tools to do it, because I know you can use a compass for drawing circles.
Sure.
You can't really use a compass to draw an oval.
It's a little difficult, but you can make it work. Yeah. I've done it.
But these help draw consistent shapes. And these were very inexpensive templates. They were $4.99 a piece when I bought them. So if you wanted to get, you know, a little ruler or template set, then you could combine these together and spend like maybe $10 and just get a nice little, what's effectively an architecture set, but it's you're architecting clothing or props. And it's very inexpensive, and I have definitely gotten my money's worth out of all of these.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure you have.
I draw a lot of shapes. I really do. So, yeah. Ruler set.
Yeah. Since you mentioned the X-Acto knife, and I don't know why I put this away, this is something I actually bought myself very recently. If you want to get a little bit fancier, and this is from Fiskars, this is a nice little handheld X-Acto knife, and what I like about it so much is that it fits very well and comfortably in your hand. So it makes it so much easier and smoother to make all the cuts that you need to make because it's designed to really sit well in the palm of your hand. Plus, they have a whole bunch of options that you can change out to different types of blades. You can do this way, this way, this. There's a whole lot of blades that come with it. So this is a little bit more expensive, but if you want to give that cosplayer in your life something much more hand-friendly and lots of blade options, this is a nice alternative. And it's not just Fiskars that does it, but it just happened to be the one that I had available.
Those tend to be safer too.
Yes.
You have a much better grip on
it. You have such a grip on it.
As opposed to the little thin pencil like things, which are a lot easier to like fumble.
Yeah.
And a lot harder to grab once.
They're harder to grab. That was my thing.
And speaking of working on props, clamp set. Oh my lord, how many clamps I use. I use them in sewing, I use them in prop making. I use them for pretty much any project I am working on. And there are many types of clamps. You can get your standard C-clamp. You can get just the standard table clamp, which just clamshell clamp, basically. You can get the types of clamps that you can tighten instead of just the ones that are spring-loaded. Some of them will have a little butterfly turn dial.
Yeah.
You used to tighten them. You can get inexpensive ones for as cheaply as like 50 cents a piece at Harbor Freight, or you can get the nice metal clamps, like they have metal C clamps. Those tend to be like $2 to $3 a piece, or you can just get a set. They're $10 and you can get 4 clamps. Or you can get the larger sets that have like 10 clamps and I think they're $30. You will use every single clamp in the set, I promise you, and you will lose them.
You will lose them.
Socks. They're like socks in the dryer.
Yep.
Perpetually,
that's pretty normal.
You will always lose just one clamp randomly somewhere. And then, like, because I am very persnickety about the number of clamps I have, I always have to have an even number. If I lose one, I have to go out and get another one.
Oh.
Because I always use them in pairs. So if I'm one off, I feel weird.
Basically, get Amber a pack of 100, and then she won't have a reason to buy more.
I did that with my rare earth magnets. I got a set of 100, and now I have 96, and it irks me because I don't know where the 4 went. So no,
oops.
Please don't get me the thing of 100.
Get her 500.
Just get a lifetime supply of clamps, where every time I lose one, I just ask them to send me another one.
There you go.
I probably have about a dozen clamps, and I use every single one of them. And I have all 3 kinds.
Nice.
Yeah, they're very inexpensive. Whenever Harbor Freight has one of their clear the tent sales, I basically just go and get a bunch of cheap clamps.
Makes sense.
Yeah. And the smaller version of clamps, and I know you have experience with these, Wonder Clips.
Yeah, let me see if I can find mine while you talk.
Wonder Clips are like candy for cosplayers that work on sewing. They're very small.
Yes.
But they do amazing work when you need to hold things together without having to worry about marking them or leaving indents. So they're actually really good when you're working on things like foam, like leather, like vinyl, things that take imprints really easily. If you're using standard clothespins or binder clips or like all of the other ways that we as cosplayers tend to MacGyver holding things together, if you don't have Wonder Clips, including pins and, you know, that sort of thing, Wonder Clips solve all of those problems. And you can get them in fairly large sets if you go online. And again, just like clamps, you will use every one of them. please don't buy them from Joann's. This is not me harping on Joann's for any reason. I am not saying Joann's is a bad company whatsoever. It's that Joann's are overpriced.
They're very overpriced, and you will lose them. I guarantee it.
They charge something like $20 for 10 Wonder Clips.
And
it's
no,
very overpriced.
No, no, no. I've got a pack of 100 from, I can't remember. It may have been from, oh God, I know it was from a sewing store. It wasn't from Amazon. It was actually from an actual craft store. But I got a pack of 100 for $9, I think.
Right.
Yeah.
Go online when you buy them. Don't get them in retail stores. They are overpriced.
Unfortunately, they are in the cabinet, and I cannot reach the cabinet. I would show you all, but just look for them online.
Yeah, it's okay. And, you know, again, you will get your use out of them.
Oh, absolutely.
Even if you lose a few, which it's expected that you lose a few. They're small. So be very careful if you have small children or pets, but you will get your use out of them.
If you do really well. A lot of bias tape work, oh my God, you will abuse them.
And then the last thing I have for tools, which this kind of gets into sewing a little bit, is an attachments set. So getting together a little gift set of sample sizes of Velcro, snaps, hook and eye tape, rivets if you want to do prop making, a pop rivet gun, or binding posts.
Mm.
So basically all the things you use to put two things together. Whether it's sewing, whether it's prop making, anything that you wanted to work on, you can get just a little mini kit. So it's almost like an emergency sewing kit.
Sure.
But it's only of attachments, things that you use to put two things together. So that you can either experiment with things that you haven't tried before, like maybe the pop riveter or the binding posts, or if they're just things that you use a lot of, like Velcro and snaps. We use a ton of those between the two of us. You'll note that I left out the magnets.
Yay!
I did not say to get the person a set of magnets. Mostly because the rare earth magnets that you buy in stores are crap. They're not good. They're covered in some sort of coating that comes off really easily, which can discolor your cosplay, which I don't think most people want. They're not strong. They won't hold very much weight. And generally in the packages, you'll only get 6 or 8. So that's why I say don't put magnets in there, because if you were going to do the whole magnets thing, you'd want to go online, just like for the Wonder Clips.
Mm-hmm.
And I know Val was joking when she said buy Amber a set of 100, except that I totally recommend that you buy a set of 100, because you will lose some.
You will lose some.
But you will also get your use out of the rest.
Sure.
So yes, that is the end of my tools section. I am very sorry for talking so long.
No, that is totally okay. The next one that I have on my list, I don't know what to put this under. It is cosplay related. Miscellaneous is probably a good category. It's the miscellaneous stuff. There we go. A ring light with a remote. Because
yes, I have lighting on my
perfect. Desk. Yeah, because a lot of us are taking more photos at home, both progress photos and final photos, doing a lot of selfies and show progress, all that fun stuff. And the nice thing about these is that they are very easy to set up. They're very easy to transport. And with a ring light, they provide just enough even coverage along your face and your body to do good photo setups without a whole lot of effort. And you'll see a lot of these are designed like, I wish I could show mine right now, but it's currently lighting me and I can't. But
it's in use.
It's in use right now. So basically it's just a giant circle of a ring of a light with a little hole in the middle. And you can stick it on top of your computer. You can stick it off to the side, whatever you want to do. They even make ones that are specifically designed that you can just attach to your phone on top of it. And that is your ring light. They're really great. And you'll usually find these in a nice bright white. But you do have other options for like natural light or even cooler tones. You can swap out the ring itself for different tones, and that's kind of nice too. And the remote is good so that way you don't have to worry about doing this and hoping you get it right and your arms look awkward. It gives you the opportunity to pose yourself properly in the way that you want to, and you can hide that remote very well. The remotes are very, very tiny. They hide well in the palm of your hand. You don't have to worry about it.
They're also great for taking pictures of small objects. They mm-hmm. don't necessarily only have to be used for people.
Right.
So if you get the ring lights that have those flexible necks.
Yes, which is what I have.
Or you can kind of bend it over. Those are really nice so that if you have a small object that you're working on, it's great for providing work light. Or if you need to take a picture of that mm-hmm. small object to like show progress pictures, then it works really well for that, because as Val mentioned, it gives very even lighting.
Yes.
Which can be very difficult to do when you're taking pictures of a 3D object.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's lots of options available out there now. You probably want to shoot for the ones that are more like in the $40 to $50 range, because that's when you get more of the quality products, and the ones that aren't going to burn out in a couple of months, those will actually last you a few years.
You can keep going on your list. I've done quite a few.
Okay, because the only other one that I have left available, and I guess this is miscellaneous still, and I wish I brought mine out here, but it's dirty, so I'm not going to show it. It's a makeup remover towel / cloth. And I don't know if you people have seen these things, but oh my goodness, they are a game changer. It's the one thing where it's like, it will save you a lot of money when you realize how much you spend on makeup remover and potentially any extra fees you earn in a hotel by dirtying up their towels and they can't clean them properly. So basically, what's interesting about these cloths is that they are woven in such a way that they help clear makeup off your face with very little effort. All you need to do is put the cloth in water, just get it a little bit wet, and then circle it on your face, and bam, makeup is removed. It is wonderful. It's very soft on the skin. You don't have to use any cleansers. I usually do afterwards because I have very sensitive skin. It's prone to acne, so I like to do the extra wash anyway. But I've actually noticed since I started using this, I've had less acne. So it's like, oh, hey, this is nice. And because it is a cloth, you can just throw it in the washing machine. It gets clean. You can reuse it. That's where you save the money. So the good ones are going to have synthetic fibers, unfortunately. Sorry, just how it is. So keep that in mind when you want to check up to see what kind of fiber content is out there. But a lot of them will be made out of cotton with some kind of synthetic, or bamboo and some kind of synthetic. So... and you can get them anywhere in the range from like $6 to $20. It changes. But man, spend a little bit more on the quality ones and they will last you a very long time, as long as you remember to throw them in the washing machine every couple of days, depending on how often you wear makeup. Good for cons, that's for sure.
And speaking of cons, I actually have one item in the convention category.
I have one in that category, yay, because it's cosplay adjacent.
Yes. So I have a convention mini bag and lanyard set.
Mm.
Because whenever you go to cons, chances are good you're going to need to carry stuff. Whether you buy things from the dealer's den, or if you get swag at registration, like the t-shirt and stuff. Or if you just want to carry around things like your wallet, stuff that you carry around all the time, but you don't necessarily have pockets, because all of us know that not everybody makes cosplay with pockets. Hint, hint, nudge, nudge, wink, wink. So sometimes you just need a classy way to carry stuff. So you can get a really nice mini bag.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't have to be a backpack. It doesn't have to be like a full blown, you know, Swiss gear backpack. It can just be a good quality, small, like little leather body bag. And the reason I say leather is because they tend to last longer. So I would say probably don't get the cheap vinyl ones.
No.
They tend to spring holes in the seams pretty quickly. They don't last long and they don't wear well. So if you're going to go that route, please go ahead and spend the money for the leather. It'll last a lot longer. And then you can get a nice lanyard to go with it, because we all know the lanyards that conventions tend to give out with their badges and how those are and the quality of what those are. And I'm not knocking it. I know why they do it.
And they never match
your... Just like the previous things that I've mentioned. So you can go find their favorite fabric, or if it's for a particular costume that they wear all the time, then match it to the costume. You can make a generic one out of just monochrome fabric. So you can get like a black lanyard that'll go with everything, mm-hmm. or a gray lanyard that'll go with everything. It doesn't have to be fancy, but this is just like a little convention-going kit so that you can carry your stuff and carry your badge in style.
There you go.
That was my convention category.
My cosplay adjacent, also convention category, which seems so obvious. Get your favorite cosplayer a weekend badge to their favorite convention.
As long as it's affordable.
As long as it's affordable, but that would be a really nice gift for any cosplayer, because that's one less thing that they have to be concerned about.
Right. It's all right going, Ape. We're still going. We've still got a list. We have list items.
Well, my list is officially done now. Hooray! I was trying very hard to pick things that I hadn't done in the past, and I realized, we've done a lot of these already.
I still have stuff.
You have stuff. Keep going.
So, the next one on my list is nerdy pillows. And I know you're probably going, what the heck does that have to do with cosplay or even working on cosplay? Pillows sit on a bed or a sofa.
Cosplay adjacent.
Actually, if you end up sitting in a pillow, can sincerely help with that, especially if you set it behind your back and your lower back. And so having a pillow back there can take a lot of the load off of your back and shoulders when you're sitting there working on cosplay for like 6 hours. And so it really does help. If you want to be extra cool and you have the money, only if you have the money, you know, don't splurge on this, but you can actually get lumbar pillows.
They kind of
strap to a chair. They have a little elastic band on them that'll hold them to the chair. And they're specifically made to sit in the lower back and help with posture.
Yes.
Now, granted, those are most likely not nerdy whatsoever. They're usually found in office stores and they're very drab and they're very functional. You can make a nerdy cloth cover for it if you wanted to. It's not very difficult to make. They're usually very standard shapes. So if you wanted to do that, and then maybe use the extra nerdy fabric left over to make a couple of throw pillows, that would be cool too.
Sure.
But it's really helpful to have in your craft room to just have that extra lumbar support if you're working for long periods of time.
Absolutely.
The next thing is to give your favorite cosplayer either a class or a pattern subscription. Because there's a lot more pattern stores now than there used to be.
Yeah.
And I'm not speaking of McCall Simplicity. I'm speaking
Independence.
Of independent pattern stores like Hey Cut Sew, stores like that. And a lot of them are starting to offer subscriptions now where you can pay a monthly price and you'll get X number of patterns per month that you can download and use for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with classes. A lot of craft stores are starting to have online affiliates where they're offering different classes that you can take online and you get basically little video tutorials that you download, or you'll attend like virtually a class live. So you can attend classes on all sorts of different crafting things, like sewing, things like crochet. You can even attend classes for things like makeup, which, yes, they're not offered by craft stores, but you may have your local, say, Ulta store offer after-hours makeup classes, or maybe your local esthetician school may offer it. But those can be really good for helping cosplayers either hone skills they already have, like if you want to take it to the next level, or get new skills that they didn't have in the first place, or maybe they feel a little uncomfortable with. If you're a prop maker, maybe gift somebody a woodworking class. That could be really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you're somebody who wants to kind of get into the theater scene but is still really kind of not sure, maybe go take a prosthetics class or a makeup class, makeup 101 class at your local theater shop.
Mm-hmm.
Some places offer them. So that's something that you can give a gift subscription to.
Yeah, that might require a little bit more research, but it's worth investing in. I've done one of the Michael's classes before, and it made me realize how much I did know about paint and how little I knew about paint at the same time.
Right. I feel the same way about the sewing classes when they teach you to sew like tailored clothing.
Yes.
Like, I know a lot on paper, but actually yes. doing it is a very different thing.
It's a very different thing.
Yeah. And speaking of gift cards, something else that you can also gift your favorite cosplayer are books, specifically ebooks. There are a ton of cosplayers now that offer ebooks through their stores.
Mm-hmm.
And you can get ebooks on pretty much every discipline of cosplay. Everything that you ever wanted to do in cosplay, there is an ebook for it. And they tend to be very affordable. They're usually between $5 and $10 an ebook. And sometimes, if you get really lucky, then you can go to a place like Humble Bundle where they offer a series of books for one price. So then you can buy all of them and then gift the code, which allows you to download all the books, to your favorite cosplayer. Or you can just get a standard gift certificate to a physical bookstore like Barnes & Noble, because they also sell a lot of craft books. Half Price does, and I've gotten quite a few of my craft books from them. And again, you can find books on nearly everything that you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
So a good gift card will actually go pretty far. And then the last thing, and this is my most off the wall one, so bear with me.
Okay.
A gift card to give a cosplayer business cards.
Can you do that?
More or less, it ends up basically just being a gift card to, like, Office Depot or FedEx Kinko's or an independent store that does business cards already. But the whole point of that is that a lot of cosplayers will go, well, I don't have a business. Why would I ever need business cards? The reason is because when people take your picture at a convention, they generally don't know who you are. And when they go back through their camera roll, they're still not going to know who you are, especially if you have asked them, hey, can you send those pictures to me after the convention? Here's my email address. But they don't remember your email address, like which costume it went to.
Mm-hmm.
And so something that you can do if you have the business card is you can actually, you know, do your normal photos as a cosplayer, do your three poses, make sure you wait for them to take your picture, pause, then you can move. But you can have them take one picture with your business card. And that way they have the contact information and it matches with your outfit so they know who you are. And they know which pictures to send you. Instead of just blindly posting them on a blog somewhere and then hoping that you'll find them at some point. Because you may not be able to find that photographer's blog again. I speak from experience from having my picture taken at conventions many times.
I think we all have.
I didn't know who the photographer was, so I basically trawled through the convention forums just waiting for photographers to post links to their blog. So I'd have to go look through every single blog and figure out which was the guy that took my picture. It was a mess. Having business cards can help with that. And business cards are very inexpensive. Very inexpensive. Mm-hmm. You don't have to get fancy business cards. You don't need the foil paper. You don't need uber heavy cardstock. You don't need fancy fonts or a bunch of graphics or anything. They can be very simple. You can get a good set for like $10. And they don't ever go bad.
No.
They'll never expire. So if you need to like change your contact information, you can always just like draw a line through it and write on it. Yes, I know it's not professional, but it's better than reprinting them.
Mm-hmm.
But they'll last you forever. And you can always just take them with you to conventions. And plus, that way, if you want to have other people look at your other work, you can have your socials on there. And if somebody asks, hey, you know, that's a really awesome costume. Do you take commissions? Or is there a place I can see your other work? You just hand them the card and say, here's all my socials. Here's my Insta. Here's where the rest of my work is. And that way you don't have to worry about carrying around a notepad and writing everything down.
So I have two things to add to that.
I know it's off the wall.
Yeah.
But honestly, it's one of those things where if
you don't really think about it,
it actually can be a really nice like add-on gift.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my list.
So my first comment is convention forums. Wow, I feel old. Second comment is there are other alternatives to this. So there's the business card, but I've seen more cosplayers move away from that to do stickers instead. So they'll do customized stickers that have all the contact information either on the front or the back of the sticker. Yeah, and that does cause a little bit more that does require more planning and thought about it, because what they'll usually do is they'll have the sticker coincide with their costume. So that way it's much easier to kind of figure out who they are after they take your photo and you're like, oh, okay. So that does require a more effort and more time to think about it. But also the big thing that's been making a comeback again and again and again are ribbons. So you can actually have a ribbon with your contact info on it that also has something funny that relates to your costume and the character that you're cosplaying.
And I mean, if you wanted to like really throw back, I mean, if we're going to go there, let's go all the way.
Yeah.
Photo cards.
Dang, yeah, I've done those.
You can have pictures taken of your costume, not at a convention, but just like at home or at outdoors in a specific setting. You can have a photo shoot done, basically, and have small business-sized cards, you know, way big, that have the photo of that costume on it. And that way
people some of those.
Very easily remember who you are because you're picture is on the photo card and it has all of your socials on the back of it.
Yep.
But also, people used to collect those and trade them.
Yeah, yeah. We've got friends who have like whole photo murals that are plastered on their walls of that stuff.
Yeah, it very much was a gotta catch them all kind of moment where you trade photo cards with other cosplayers.
It's good stuff.
Yeah, and you could totally do that. But basically the idea in short, it doesn't even have to be business cards per se, but the idea is to have some sort of very small card that you can easily carry around with you that has your contact info and some way to remember who you are to the other person. So that after the convention, when they've caught up on sleep and life gets in the way and they finally get around to getting on the internet so that they can share their bounty of photos,
right,
that they can get in contact with you again. Or, you know, if you want to network with other cosplayers. Because
it's a great way to do that.
That's another thing that happens at cons, is you network with other cosplayers and you want to exchange information. Business cards are a great way of doing that. And so most of these are very affordable options that we've given in the episode. You can spend as little or as much as you like. Please don't feel guilty if you can't spend what you want to. We understand life gets in the way.
And cosplay's expensive.
Cosplay is very expensive, and life right expensive. Now. I mean, food's expensive, rent is expensive, healthcare's expensive. We get it. Please don't spend outside of your means for any of these things. And please don't be hard on yourself if you can't spend what you would normally or what you want to. Take care of yourself first. Only do the gifts if you can reasonably afford it and not put yourself in debt. And you don't have to necessarily get somebody an expensive gift to make their day. It can be a very small thing because it shows that you notice the other person. And you took the time to find an appropriate gift for them. And that's really all that matters. That's it.
There you go.
So hopefully these inspired you all to find gifts for your favorite cosplayers in your life, because of course the holiday season is coming up much sooner than many of us might like.
Yeah, facts.
And many places are going to start running sales. And so keep a lookout. You know, make yourself a small list of items that you might want to get for your fellow cosplayers. Keep an eye on sales. Save yourself money where you can. Also keep things like shipping in mind. Because
also
when
facts.
You order something, if it's not local, you're going to have to wait for it to arrive. And it may take longer than you think. So waiting until the last minute, not advised. But otherwise, we wish you all happy holiday hunting. And of course, if you all would like to share some additional ideas that weren't on either one of our lists, feel free to join in the conversation via any of our social media, which, of course, you can find here.
For those of us who are watching, information located right there underneath Amber. Very easy peasy. For those who are listening, visit us at cosplaypod.org, on Facebook and Instagram at Cosplay Podcasts, on YouTube as CosPodcast, and on Blue Sky as CosPod. I really wish I made that CosPodcast or something, because that is... fits nothing in the rambling, but that's fine. We are CosPod somewhere, at least. Hooray.
We were supposed to be CosPod everywhere originally, and that just didn't work
out. That just didn't happen. So, you know, CosPod and Cosplay Podcast, it's fine. It's fine, really.
Just Google us.
If you Google us, we're there.
Yeah, go to our website. It has all of our socials listed. And of course, if you prefer not contacting us via social media and you prefer using email, you can do that too. podcast@cosplaypod.org, where you will get an answer from each one of us along with Nick Cage memes.
Guaranteed.
Otherwise, we will see you all next time for our final episode of the season.
Yay.
Episode 287, our After Dark session. Be there. Be square in those wonderful cosplays. And we all want to see your smiling, shining faces on those screens next episode. We will see you there. Happy cosplaying, everybody. Good night.
Bye.